John chapter 6 this morning, and beginning at verse 22. Now we're actually following up to some things we've been preaching about the last several weeks. One of them is that Jesus recognized that his disciples needed a break. And so he put them in a boat, and they went across. And when they got to the other side, the people were so enthused and excited that they had gone ahead and walked and got there first. And Jesus saw the multitude, and he had compassion on them. And so he went ahead, and they didn't, instead of having a retreat, they had church services, had camp meeting services, and they went all day. And then it was getting late, and the disciples said, "You need to send these people home because they're hungry. And we don't have anything to eat here." Jesus said to them, "What do you have? You feed them." Well, they found five loaves and two fishes, and we have the account of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. That's an amazing miracle. It's recorded in all four of the Gospels. And then Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat and head back. But he didn't go with them. He went up to pray. Now, after the disciples got in the boat, they left, then Jesus sent the crowds of people home. And then he went up into the mountains to pray. The Bible tells us that in the middle of the night, Jesus looked out and he saw that the winds had come up, the storm, the disciples were fighting to try to make progress. And they were out in the boat and they were fighting the storm and things were getting bad, and Jesus walked on the water out to them. And they thought he was a ghost, scared them to death. But he said, "Don't be afraid. It's me. It is I." And actually, "I am," is what he said. "It is I am. I am in charge." And he calmed the whole thing and calmed it all down and challenged the faith of the disciples. Now we pick up the reading in the Gospel of John, following suit on this. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which the disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples. And remember, he put the disciples in the boat, sent them back, and then he dismissed the crowds and sent them home. So he was still with them. So they knew that he didn't go in the boat. But his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus, looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Now this was explained. They recognized Jesus did not get in the boat with the disciples he had sent on ahead, and no other boats had been taken, and Jesus hadn't gone with them. How did Jesus get over there? Well, here's what Jesus answered. Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Now, you would think that from that they would ask, okay, well, I mean, they ate the bread, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, ate that the day before, and now they're hungry again, and that food only lasts for a while. You'd think they would ask about the food that would last to eternal life, right? But this is what they did. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Now, notice the response. I mean, they missed Jesus. They were looking for Jesus. That's a good thing, isn't it? People be looking for Jesus. And they knew that he was not where he was and where they thought he should be. So then he must be someplace else. So they got in boats that had come up from Tiberias and so on, and he was and followed over there back to Capernaum, where they figured he must be. They put in effort. They got in the goats, in the boats, not the goats. They got in the boats. They took the time, took the effort, the energy, and so on, and searched for Jesus. And they found him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They found Jesus. They got to him. They said, Rabbi, when did you come here? You know, the guy, how did you get here? You know what, this whole thing we don't understand. And here we have a situation that looks very good. These are people who are looking for Jesus. They're searching for Jesus, and they found Jesus. That all sounds pretty good, right? And then we look at Jesus' response. Because Jesus knows the hearts of people. You know, we only can evaluate by what we see, how people live their lives, but we don't know what's going on in the heart. But Jesus does. Amen. He said basically to them, you came to eat. You're looking for food. Don't labor for food that perishes. The actions looked good, but there was a problem on the inside, and it was a heart problem. And how do we know that? We see it in four different ways. Whether this was about to gain or to give. Now, the first way we see it, Jesus pointed out they had a wrong motive. Their motive, they came not to give themselves, not to serve the Lord, but to gain. They wanted to eat. Jesus had, the day before, provided a meal for over 5,000 people in a relatively short period of time through a miracle. Well, man, wouldn't that be a great thing? We just follow Jesus, and we just eat what he provides, man, and we don't have to cook anymore, and we don't have to harvest, we don't have to do any of those kinds of things, because Jesus will feed us. All we'll have to provide is a few fish and some bread, loaves of bread, and he'll take care of that, and that's a wonderful thing. That's why they were looking for Jesus. This is a heart issue, and it is an expression of carnality. I want to gain. I want what I want. Holiness is the opposite. Holiness says, I want to give. I want to invest. The action looked good, but the motive was wrong. You know, we can have good actions. We can live our lives according to good principles and that kind of thing, but if we don't have a right heart, we're not really right with the Lord. And it was a heart issue. And they came with a wrong motive. Not only that, a wrong object. Verse 28. You know, this is interesting, as I pointed out when we were reading it. And Jesus said, you need the food that will last for everlasting life that I'll give to you. They didn't ask about that. How did they respond? Well, verse 28, it tells us. Is what it said. Then they said, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? What labor should we do? Oh, wait a minute. This is about Jesus. But they missed it. They weren't interested in the fruit that would last for food that would last for eternal life that Jesus gave. They asked about what work can we do to get it. How can we accomplish this? Now, Jesus is the goal. Amen. They missed him. They were interested in what they could do to accomplish this for themselves. Now, you say, well, that might seem like a reasonable thing, but actually, it's also a wrong process. What shall we do? How do we accomplish this for ourselves? Now, if they could do the work, then their salvation would not be a gift. You know the difference between a gift and and work, right? You put in your week's work, and now they probably do direct deposit. But years ago, they gave you a check. You got a paycheck. You got paid for what you did. And it usually came in an envelope. And can you imagine if the employer came to you and said, here's a gift. And you open it then thinking, well, this is going to be more than what I have earned because that's what a gift is. And then you look at it and it is only your paycheck. And you think, this isn't a gift. I've been cheated. Well, you haven't really been cheated. But he was wrong. A gift is something that we haven't earned. We don't do. Now, this has been a problem across the years. But we realize that the right process is to believe. It's what he says in verse 29, in response to them asking what they should do. Jesus said, this is the work of God. This is what you do, that you believe in him whom he has sent. We accept the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. You say, well, preacher, I know that. Guess what? We continue to live by faith. Amen. I was just reading in Galatians recently. And the Apostle Paul is saying, what in the world's happened to you? You started out by faith, and now you're trying to earn your salvation by what you do. It doesn't work that way. We can never earn our salvation. We can never earn the gift of God, or it would be a wage and not a gift. Yes, we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior in that beginning experience of conversion, but you know what? We continue to live the same way, by faith in him. We need to be careful, because the longer we live for the Lord, the more we're used to a Christian lifestyle, and we develop a Christian worldview, and we know that some things are right and some things are wrong. We quit doing the wrong things, and we do the right things, and we get to thinking, I'm accomplishing this. But it's not our works. It is our faith in him. That's the process, and it still is. We are actually being saved now. In fact, numerous times in the New Testament, it's written in the present tense. I know we talk about, well, I was saved when I was 10 years old. Well, I was converted when I was 10 years old. That's correct. I'm being saved right now by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can never stop trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and replace that with relying on how we live. You say, well, preacher, shouldn't our lives be different? Yes, they should. Shouldn't we be doing the things that are right? Yes, we should. But why are we doing them? We do that because we love the Lord Jesus Christ, not to earn our salvation. They were saying, what can we do? We do the works of God. We'll be glad to do it. We'll do those things. We'll earn this. No, you can't earn it. It is by faith, as Jesus said. This is the work of God, that you believe. It is by faith. Well, one more wrong thing here, and that's a wrong response. We keep reading in the passage of Scripture their response to what he said. In verse 30, therefore they said to him, after he said, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Now, this is interesting. I don't know if they have amnesia. These are the people the day before that watched him feed over 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they say, well, now, you know, let's do a trick. Do a sign. You want us to believe in you, but, you know, we need a sign. What work will you do? What work does he need to do? He already has. That's why they were looking for him. They go on to say, our fathers ate the manna in the desert. It is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Yeah, he did. And Jesus gave them bread to eat. And they missed it. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world."
Amen.
Well, thank the Lord. Here they were saying, prove it. Do another miracle. Do some kind of sign that we can believe. And then we read here in verse 34 that they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus came not to gain, but to give. He is the bread of life, and he is the bread of life to all who come to him.
Amen.
Not that we work for it, but because of faith. He goes on to say, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing,
Amen.
But should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Wow! What a tremendous message he has given to them. He is the one who has come. He is the bread of life. This is the will of the Father, to see Jesus, believe in him, and that person will have everlasting life. And the Lord will raise him up at the last day. So how did the Jews respond? "Oh, that's great news. We're so thankful for that." No, that's not what happened. The Bible says the Jews then complained about him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I am come down from heaven'?" So what kind of response does he get to the message of hope and eternal life and the fact that he provides? Murmuring and complaining. Why did they reject it? They didn't understand. They didn't like the message. It was too humbling. They couldn't work for it. They certainly didn't deserve it. It's too challenging, too scary. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves." Stop complaining. We need to live by faith. You know, we live in the same, with the same message. Having come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, it doesn't switch and we somehow now earn our salvation by the way we live. Well, the way we live the way we live because we love Jesus and because we want to live and walk his walk. But it is still through faith in him who is the bread of life. He is still the one who will provide eternal life.
Amen.
We're not going to accomplish it by the way we live our lives. It is by a heart that believes in Jesus and loves him. Now our life will live that out. But here's where you can't tell from the outside It's from the inside. Are we trying to do it our way? Or are we walking His walk? We come to one of the saddest verses in the Bible, in my opinion. Jesus continues on here to explain. They didn't understand, and they didn't like the message. And as Jesus explains, it gets worse. He says to them things like this in verse 48, "I am the bread of life." It's one of the great "I am" statements that He makes. Amen. But people didn't like it. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 6, verse 66, "From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more." They quit. I want to remind you, some of these people, I mean, we don't know, who exactly, but some of these people were a part of those who were searching for Jesus just before this, who made the effort to change their schedule, find boats, row their way over or pay somebody to take them over, whatever, to find Jesus. They had invested of their selves and time and effort to find Jesus. But Jesus said, "You're wanting to eat. You need to accept me by faith. I am the bread of life." They couldn't handle that. It didn't make sense to them. They wanted to know what they could do to do the works of God. And He said, "This is the work of God, to believe." we face the same thing today. We can never replace our faith in Jesus with our good works. Our good works are never enough. Not now, not next year, not ever. We are to be recipients of giving our lives to Him. It's not what we do. It's what we believe and who we've committed, given ourselves to. The essence of holiness is not to get something, but to give something, ourselves, to our blessed Lord Jesus. I want to remind us today, it's still the truth. We walk by faith. Our destiny is by faith. The promises are by faith. Oh, I'm thankful for our lives, that we walk and live the way Jesus wants us to. But we can never lose sight of faith in Him.